system was the 20th Sunday after Trinity. The other day in the paper, there was an article about electric cars, and apparently, while the state of California wants all sorts of people to buy electric cars, the most popular car that's being sold is the Ford F-150, not exactly your economy car, the last time I looked. But then there was also a little blurb in the paper talking about somebody in Southern California who bought a new Nissan Leaf. And the salesperson, after everything was signed, the salesperson said, "How do you plan on getting that home?" And the person said, "What do you mean I'm going to drive it?" And the salesperson said, "Well, actually, you are. You see, the Nissan Leaf has a radius of 100 miles on one charge, and you live more than 100 miles from the dealership." And it kind of reminded me of the fact that, you know, lots of people think that somehow they can get to God on their own. But they're always going to fall short because we can't get to God on our own. And we thank God that He came to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We begin our service then today with the singing of hymn 239, "Come Thou Almighty King." And it's four stanzas, we'll abbreviate it and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4. We stand for 4 in honor of our triune God and remain standing as we continue with our liturgy, which begins on page 5 of the Lutheran hymn. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. grant this, Lord, unto us all. The Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does. Give glory to your name, O Lord, and deal with us according to the multitude of your mercies. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness.
Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you.
for he is glorified. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have compassion on him and on our God. For our God will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson, and also the lesson which serves as the basis for this morning's sermon, is written in the 5th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at the 15th verse. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of God. So far, the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion, we sing the triple hallelujah. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heaven.
Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord in the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all stars of light.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded and they were created.
He has also established them forever and ever. Let all praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His glory is above earth and heaven.
Hallelujah. O Lord, deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes.
I am your servant, giving me understanding that I may know your testimonies.
Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We now turn to our sermon hymn, hymn number 123, O God, our help in ages past. Eight stanzas, but we aren't going to sing all eight. We're just going to condense these and we'll sing stanza 1, 4, 6, and 8. So 1, 4, 6, and 8. All even numbers. 1, 4, 6, and 8.
Not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So far the text, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. What do you think of when we hear tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock? Well, we probably think of a clock. And when we think of a clock, we think of the passing of time. Time is a difficult concept to define. We all know what it is, but trying to define it is like trying to hold the ocean in our fingers. It just kind of slips through. You know, whether we wear a watch or we have a cell phone, we all have the same amount of time. So in my watch, the seconds tick by, and if you have a watch, the seconds tick by, and if you have a cell phone, the little blinking down there, well, the seconds are ticking by too. They all tick by at the same rate. Tick-tock, tick-tock. The seconds become minutes, the minutes become hours, the hours become days, the days become weeks, the weeks become months, the months become years, and it just goes on. But there's also something called psychological time. Sometimes time can move at a different rate. For example, when I'm at the dentist, a half hour seems a lot longer than 30 minutes. You know, perhaps we can remember when we were children. We think, you know, on a rainy Sunday afternoon, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. Or if we're sitting in the pew, we're thinking, how long will this last? And yet, time seems to fly as we get older, and the older we get, the quicker it trots by. But time is still God's gift to us. In the opening chapters of Genesis, we see God making the lights in the skies to mark the day from the night, and those were signs for seasons and for days and years. Seasons, days, years, those are all signs by which we mark the passage of time. But if time is God's gift to us, it's a gift that can be used wisely or foolishly. And Paul speaks about the wise or the foolish use of time. He tells us to redeem the time. That might be spoken of in another sense of buying back the time. But what does he mean by redeeming or buying back the time? From whom do we do this? How can we buy back time? And if we buy back the time, from whom do we buy it back? Now, these aren't questions for an accountant, but those are questions which touch each of our lives, and they bring me to this morning's sermon topic, the proper management of time. And I'll develop this in three parts. First, time is the gift, God's gift of time. The second, redeeming the time. And the third, living in redeemed time. Time is part of God's creative word. When God began creation, that's the point at which time began. God came out of his eternal now and spoke the words, "Let there be." The work of creation stands in time. And of the moon and the sun that were created to govern the day and night, and God looked and saw that those signs which measure time were good. And all of the rest of creation was good as well, and it was good because everything, including time, worked harmoniously, one with another and also with God. Everything was in sync. But we all know that even though God created a world that he finally said was very good, evil entered the world. We know that the serpent, the devil, our old evil foe, came up to Eve and told her of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And saying to Eve, for God knows that the day, in that day, that's a moment in time, that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Will be opened. The future tense. Another reference to time. Your eyes will be opened and you shall be like God. And sure enough, Eve and her husband took the fruit, they ate, and their eyes were opened. But surprise! They were naked. They were naked before each other, and what was even worse, they were naked before God. And because of their unrepentant sin, God cast them from the garden and told Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat it all the days of your life." Now instead of everything working harmoniously in time, we find out that in time, the weeds and the thistles competed with the wheat. And instead of working and reaping, we find Adam by the sweat of his brow each and every day in competition with the weeds and the thistles. The results of sin work in time, and humans work in time to earn their daily bread. And as a matter of fact, for all of us, time to a greater or lesser extent works against us, for at the end of life stands death, and that's, friends, when our time on this earth runs out. But in time, God did not abandon his creation to sin. But in time, he gave our first parents, Adam and Eve, a promise that would be fulfilled in time. A promise of a Savior who would redeem us, who would buy us back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And thus to the serpent, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. One day, when the time would be right, at the decisive moment, the seed of the woman would stomp at the head of the serpent, would conquer the serpent and all that the old evil foe could bring against humankind. But to accomplish this work of redemption, the seed would also be bruised, would be stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and at the decisive moment in death, would take upon him all the sins of the world. But for a world that had now been plunged into sin, death, and the pall of death hanging over it, that moment would be in the future when God will be pleased to work in time. At the decisive moment, at a specific point in time, the seed, that's God's own Son, Jesus Christ our Savior, went to the cross and redeemed us from sin, redeemed us from death, and redeemed us from the power of the devil, and redeemed us or brought us back from the forces that would separate us from God, but also redeemed the time in which we are living right now. But if God works in time, so does sin, death, and the power of the devil, and these three great enemies can at times make it appear as if time is our enemy. We age. We get older. Time seems to fly, and as I said before, as we get older, it seems time picks up speed. Which of us hasn't said, "My, where did the time go?" And yet for most of our lives, we might be fooled into thinking that we've got all the time in the world. You know, when it was on TV, I used to watch the Red Green Show, and it was kind of pretty funny, a redneck home improvement. During one episode, Red Green was musing about the fact that he had reached middle age, actually probably a little bit older, because how many of us know people who have lived to 100? And he was saying, perhaps now, this Sunday is the time to go to church, to stop putting off Sundays for golf and fishing or anything else which would keep him away. But then all of a sudden the thought flashed through his head. Hey, God's in the forgiving business, so Red Green reached the conclusion, I've got plenty of time now. Where are my golf clubs and my fishing pole? While the example is humorous, it's evidence of the power of sin in our lives and our world. It's the power of the devil who would come and snatch the word of God from us by turning our very selves away from God, so that while we seemingly do not technically despise preaching in God's word, we don't hold it sacred and gladly hear it, or perhaps we would hear it on our terms, but only when it's convenient. The amusements of this world, which oftentimes aren't in themselves sinful, are often used by the devil to turn us away from God and the life he offers. Paul warns us against drink, against wine in this case, which can lead to dissipation, to numb us to the passage of time. People seek escape not only from God's word and amusement, but also in the solace of numbing themselves to the effect of sin in this world, numbing themselves to the effects of loneliness and despair, seeking escape. To be sure, God gave us the gift of wine. Indeed, the psalmist declares, wine makes glad the heart of man. And we all remember Jesus' first miracle is recorded in the Gospel of John when he turned water into wine at Cana's wedding feast. It was a lot of wine, by the way. But the nature of sin, the nature of the world, and the activities of the devil are to take God's gifts and turn them on their head. Instead of being gifts that are part of our daily bread, they become means of escape by which we seek to escape from God and his word and to escape the relentless pressure of time. Now, this fleeing from God and his word is foolishness, and this foolishness results in death and not life. Make no mistake, we kill ourselves and kill our relationship with others and with God. We live in dissipation of wasting away and frittering away our time. And all of us by nature possess a certain foolishness in regard to time. But God rent the fabric of time itself, and he tore it apart to come into this world, not just by creating the time in which we live, but also by taking on our flesh in his Son and redeeming the time in which we live. In Psalm 90, Moses prays, Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge in all generations. Before the mountains were born or ever, you did give birth to the earth and the world. Ever from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn bad back into dust and you say, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Time is the theme of Psalm 90. And I hope you caught all the references to time in that brief excerpt which I just read. But time marches relentlessly on. And we soon find out, no, we don't have all the time in the world. For each of us, death will come, and at that point, quite literally, time will stop, and our watches stop ticking. So in the midst of that psalm, Moses says, So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. When he translated this psalm into German, Luther put it a little more bluntly, has a little more punch to it, and probably closer to the original intent. He wrote, Make us to know that we have to die so we may become wise. That's a little bit more to the point. And perhaps the face of death himself will convince us that none of us has all the time in the world. So where do we get the wisdom to find life in the face of death? To redeem the time God has given us. Wisdom comes from God's breaking into time and showing us the cross of Christ. That's what Paul wrote to the Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born under the law, sent forth his Son, made from a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the law, to buy them back that were under the law, which is you and I, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. At the right moment, God ripped apart the fabric of time to live with us and ultimately to die our death. And all time is compressed into that redeeming work, into that buying back, buying not only us back, but buying us back in the time in which we live. The wise use of time, then, is the filling of the Spirit that permits us to build up one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, using our words to reflect the fact that the Word became flesh, lived among us, and redeemed us by going to the cross and rising from the dead. In the midst of time, in the midst of the weeks that make up our lives, God gave us a day of rest to reflect on him and his saving work. That's part of being redeemed in time. It's spoken of the third commandment, which says, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we ask, what does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear it. Our time is redeemed or brought back as God gives us the opportunity to gather around his word. The word which we hear, the word which is sung, the word which is poured over us in the waters of holy baptism, the word which is eaten as God shares with us the true body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. There are many words for time, but the meaning that Paul has in telling us to buy back the time is to buy back the moment of decision, to buy back the decisive moment. But it is not we who have first of all bought back time, but it is Jesus who has come to buy it back for us. Thus, the time of buying back, of being brought back from sin, death, and the power of the devil, is God's gift to us in His Son. And we nourish that gift each and every day. We publicly celebrate it together, and we share the gift of life, of forgiveness among us. There's an old joke. A man comes to God and says, "Is it true that for you a thousand days is like a second, and a penny like $1,000,000? And God thinks for a moment and said, "Yeah, that's true." And so the man asks God, "Can you loan me a penny?" And God says, "Sure, wait a second." Thank God that God does not come to us on His terms, in the eternal now. But He has come to us in time. He has redeemed us in time, and He has bought back time for us to use. It's His gift. In time, He worked out our forgiveness at Jesus' expense. He has given us the word of forgiveness to open our eyes to the wise use of time, the time that has been brought for us so that we may proclaim the word of the Lord in our midst. We all know that at the end of this life, our earthly time will be over. But thank God, since we have been adopted in Christ, time with Christ continues forever. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Communion with our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of thy people.
Furnish thy church, O Lord, with such grace that she, with robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, may be adorned as a bride for the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Grant unto her a readiness to sacrifice, a zeal for thy cause, and faithfulness to thy word, that she may never falter in her holy calling. Give repentance unto thy people, and clothe them with the garments of faith, hope, and love. Send my servants unto all the nations, open in the hearts of all who hear thy gospel, and crown their labors with success. Have dominion over all the earth, and bring all rulers to thy obedience, to the end that all tyranny and oppression may be banished, the love of war and the lust for power broken, and the worship of false gods destroyed. Especially do we beseech thy blessing upon our own land. Revive in our midst the esteem of honor, truth, purity, true religion, and works of faith. And as thou art the fountain of wisdom, and thou art leaders with sound judgment, good counsel, and sure knowledge, so that we may be preserved from all our enemies, both within and without, and live to serve thee and our fellow men in tranquility and concord. Teach our families to wait upon thee in every necessity, and provide for them in due season all such things as they may have need for body or spirit. Grant that all who are in sickness or sorrow, tribulation or danger, who have suffered disappointment or injustice, may increase in faith and love, and be kept by thy mighty hand and delivered out of all their woes. We would ask that thou wouldst be with those in our midst who are, and those whom we know who are ill. Continue to let thy hand of healing rest upon them so that they may be strengthened in all their ways. For those whose faith is weak, strengthen. For those who are looking at the hour of death, we ask that they look at the cross of Christ. To this end, we especially remember Nancy, Laura, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, Kurt, Lee, Rose, Sue, Don, Richard, Ruth, Doug, Stephen, Mary, Dina, Peter, Haley, Roberta, Warren, Cynthia, and those whose names are our hearts, which we lift up unto thee now. We would ask that you would be with all those who are driving to services both here and in Mountain View. Set your holy angels and grant them a safe journey. Be with those on our synod who have received calls and those institutions which are calling. We ask that you would give an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit to all so that those who have received calls may see where their talents best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and that those who are calling may not lose hope in their vacancy. These things we entreat thee, O God, to vouchsafe unto us in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake, who has also taught us the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, the world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Rejoice, my heart, be glad and sing, and though we are not going to sing. same old line stanzas. We are going to sing stanzas 1 to 3, and then Tuesday here in Hayward. Church Council will